but it's important, I believe, that you are discerning through your life to make your right choices. Again, do we make mistakes? Yes, we do. But, you know, I'm praying that the Lord will just put it right in front of you. Oh, no, that kid's on drugs. I better not get in that car. Or, no, you know what? I really like him, but I can't get on that road because it's easy to get sucked in. I myself was not popular in high school. I wasn't a part of the in-group, and it was very much later in life that I started to, you know, interact differently, and you'd never know that today. But in 1995 was the first time I was baptized in experience, and I began to experience the real love of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's been bold ever since, bold in the Lord. Whatever anyone else says, whatever anyone else does, doesn't matter. And the Lord told me once, the only person that we have to worry about what he thinks, and that's Jesus. Now, do we have to worry about what our parents think? Do we have to obey? Yes, we do. There's rules to follow in life. But I'm talking about beyond that. We don't have to worry about what our kids think. What does she think because I don't wear makeup? Or what does she think because, you know, I don't go out with this guy or that? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all or nothing. We cannot be weak-kneed. We cannot be spineless when it comes to the Lord. We can't sometimes serve the devil and then serve the Lord. He says he will spew us out. We have to either go one way or the other. It's either all or nothing. We can't drink and drug all night and then get up the next day and be in the world. And we saw some examples today. You know, we go before the Lord, oh, gee, Lord, I'm sorry. And we go back out and do it again. We do enough of that as it is. Just, you know, with not trying to sin. The Lord says, peace I bring you, my peace I give you. And I will tell you, I can almost guarantee you, after you are baptized in the Spirit tonight, you will experience the kind of love and peace that is within you that you've never experienced before. You can't explain it. It's a peace that far surmounts most. And John talked about that earlier. He can go to sleep now, sleep all night. Nothing like it. Do you have the same problems? Do you have the same worries? Yes, you do. But I tell you what, it's a whole different life, a whole different situation. Evil brings us stress, confusion, fear, anxiety. He wants you to think that, you know, no one likes you, you're fat, you're ugly. Just say, get behind me, Satan. We're not going there today. We're not going to fellowship today with any of that stuff. I'm on the right road, and I know where I'm going. And I'm telling you, he will always be there to tempt us, because he is in the world. Who am I? Why am I? What is my purpose? You may ask yourself those questions sometime in your future as you approach college and life. But remember one thing. God chose you. He chose each one of you. He chose you for your family, your particular parents, your particular siblings, your brothers and sisters. It wasn't by accident. Your own name is not by accident. You're all part of his plan. Sin runs us off from the love of God. Resistance tears down all of those walls. It keeps us from the love of God. I want to say, we're going to show a slide here, and Bob's going to describe it, but I want to say that from this moment on, let's get glued together. Let's stick together. Let's stand up for what we believe in the Lord. Let's know that anytime you need something, you can call on any one of these girls or guys and know they're going to be for you. Or you're going to call on any one of us adults and know that we'll be there for you, no matter what it is. Let's get glued together.
The scientists try to prove or not prove some things, and this was a cell that was discovered. It's a cell adhesion molecule called laminin. You might have, I don't know if anybody knows anything about laminin. Well, laminin is one of these particles in the cell that it's like a glue, and it holds all the other cells together. And you know, look at the shape of it. This is the cross. This is the cross. And here's a couple different examples of it. I don't know these scientific names here. There's proto-glycan binding and intactin and collagen 4, et cetera, et cetera. You can see that the scientists have delved down at their microscopes and electronic micron scopes and got down so small that they now have discovered what holds the cells together. And incredibly enough, it's in the shape of a cross. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Pretty powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Thank you.
So imagine, I was at a retreat a couple weeks ago with Jonet Bankovic from EWTN, and she brought something to my mind that just, and every day is a learning experience, but just think, like I said, the Lord created us to his own likeness and image. He knew from that little seed that was planted what every hair on our head was going to look like, what we were going to look like. And we, as parents, wait in anticipation for our little baby and the joy that it brings and the love that it brings. But imagine this mighty, awesome God created all of that, and how he loves us, and he chose each one of us to be here, to share this weekend, to grow in his spirit, to receive his gifts, to receive a new kind of power. What are the two greatest commandments of all? Two greatest commandments. Love your neighbor.
Love God above all things, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen. So, the Lord is all about love. It's unconditional love. And that's the greatest commandment. The second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, therefore, we have to grow in that direction, because there will always be people that will aggravate us, that we just simply do not like, that we just don't want to be around, and that's okay, but we have to find Jesus in every person that we come in contact with. Somehow, some way, we have to find love, Jesus, in every person. So, what was the topic of Irene's talk today? Let's just have a little quiz here. I want to see how good she was. If you remember
session
what the topic
number
was
one.
About,
session number and one.
You'll know she was good.
God's love rocket.
Amen.
The rocket, right? Yeah. Rocket.
How about Mr. Novak's talk?
Don't put.
That's
man.
Dead.
Session number
two. He's working. He's amen.
There you go.
Thanks a lot. Bethany's talk?
New life.
There you go. And we all are experiencing new life this weekend. Just being together, it's a new life. I'm just so happy to be able to share this new life with each one of you. So we heard the talk on love, and we know for sure that God loves us unconditionally. There's no two ways about it. We don't need to be hard on ourselves anymore. He created us individually. Each one of us is unique to ourselves, and we need to just focus and concentrate one day at a time. Yesterday is over. The problems of yesterday, the disappointments, the rejections of a relationship or whatever it was, is over. It's done. We can't go back there. Hard to forget, but we have to put it out of our mind, and we have to go on. Live in this present day, because suffice to say, it's difficult, and we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Can we have the overheads of baptism of the Spirit? So there are two kinds of baptism. One is unto life, when we were baptized as little babies, infants, most of the time. Sometimes later in life we have choices, and we choose to be baptized in whatever denomination that we choose to be baptized in. And at that time, the baptizer was the Holy Spirit. The element was the body of Christ. The purpose was newness of eternal life, and the evidence was fruits of the Spirit. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And now, this weekend, we will be baptized into power. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptizer is Jesus. The element is the Holy Spirit. The purpose is the power to witness. The evidence is gifts of the Holy Spirit. Could you read those two verses, please?
Yeah. John answered, saying to all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. The thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.
So I encourage you to remove all your fears, and for whatever the reason, that seems to always set in because of the unknown. We always fear the unknown. We fear death because we've never experienced it, and negativity because it blocks our will. Receive the Holy Spirit and give him all your encounter. Be a loving monstrance of his love. We talked today about his unconditional love, salvation, living the new life of God, which began in us through the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. This means that we have a new love relationship with the Holy Spirit. Having faith and believing in the unknown. I'm sorry, the weeds get to me. We must have faith and believe and trust no matter what. And that's difficult. We can't see him like we do each other. We can't reach out there and touch him. We have to take it all on faith. But I have to tell you, when we surrender our will completely to the Lord, no matter what we ask, he's going to find us a way. I used to always tell my son when he was a little guy, you know what, if you have a problem, we have to talk about it. We have to have that communication. We have to keep that open. Can we solve it on the spot? Not all the time. We can't. Sometimes it takes time to work on it. But keep that communication open with your family. Keep that communication open with the Lord. Don't be afraid to go to him and talk to him just as you do, you know, just as I'm talking to you. Call upon him. You know, Lord, this is a situation I'm having. What would you do? I've said that to him many a time. I can't handle this. You take care of it for me. You got to do it, Lord. I can't. You got to remove this obstacle. It's too difficult for me. And I tell you what, he always finds a way out. He always finds a solution to the problem. And when you step aside and let him do his job, completely different than you ever thought it would turn out to be. You know, when you were a child, and probably still today, everyone loves gifts, everyone loves Christmas, everyone loves birthdays, and there's that anticipation of what's in that package, and oh my gosh, never will get behind me. You can't wait to open those gifts.
I wanted to warn you.
Take what he has for us. Because it's not something that's going to wear out. It's not a pair of shoes that we're going to get rid of and throw out. It's life, long, everlasting. We're beginning a new life in the Spirit and a new faith journey. And we'll become a journey like we've never been on before. And life itself is a journey. But when you get older, you'll look back at this weekend and you'll realize that you began one of the best journeys of a lifelong time. You're going to be receiving gifts, and you're going to be taking them in your future and using them in your life. You're going to be taking on a whole new persona, a whole new you in the Lord. You're going to be surprised at how you're going to interact with other people. I was so excited whenever I heard Tiffany say that little girl didn't know Jesus, but because of Tiffany and how she was acting, she came to know a new Jesus in a new way, because she wanted what Tiffany had. And that's the way it'll be with people that'll be around you. They'll know that you're different. They'll know that you have a whole new persona. This morning, Bethany gave us the scripture, Corinthians 1:12, and I'd like for someone to find that again. We're going to read it again, because this is all new for you. And the best things about all these gifts, like we just said, that they're free. They're free for the taking. We buy tickets. We buy everything else. Now let's take this free. Someone read me Corinthians 1:12.
Did you have somebody pick it?
Anyone. Just read it loud for me. Gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12.
You want chapter 12 or chapter 1?
Chapter 1, verse 12.
Gifts of
the Spirit.
Oh, no, that's...
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 12,
okay,
verse 1.
Now, in regard to spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware.
Spirit. Each gift is a gift from the Lord and will be unique to each one of us as he sees fit. Not everyone is going to get the gift of wisdom. Not everyone's going to get the gift of healing. But he gives them as he seems or he deems that you're ready for it. Now, many times I've been baptized in the Spirit. This may make 18, 19 times. I don't know. I would leave thinking, you know, this next couple of days, well, nothing really happened. I didn't get anything out of that. And in time, the Lord is so gentle and so subtle, all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, that's what I got. And so I encourage you, when you receive your gift, no matter which one it is, if it's just the gift of peace, envelop it. Carry it with you. And each time you seek, and each time you ask, you'll be given more gifts. Each gift is unique to each one of you because each one of you are unique individuals. You know, a lot of people are controllers, and sometimes we start young, we know how to manipulate. Sometimes it's in adults, and we think no matter what, I'm thinking of a family member in particular, you know, we're going to do this, and this, and we control, and I have to tell you, we have no control over nothing, not a thing. The sooner we step aside and allow the Lord to do the work, the better off we're going to be. We learned earlier about that circle of light. And if we keep the Lord in the center of that circle in all of our decision making, whether it be just a test or whatever you're experiencing in school, keep him in the center, set yourself aside, and watch how the outcome comes to your advantage and like you never ever thought could happen. You know, when the Lord walked the earth, he was a human being, the same as each one of us. And it took me a long time to realize he had friends, and he was human, and he didn't always experience the best or the easiest. It was a very difficult road for him. And when he went to that river, Jordan, to be baptized by John the Baptist, I'll bet you it created a lot of confusion, and people just didn't really realize what was going to take place. But it wasn't until after that he did that, that Holy Spirit fire came down when he left for 40 days. And he began to share with his disciples, and they were able then after that to experience the Holy Spirit and to receive what was offered. And that's that same experience for us. He provided a means and a way for us to now receive. And it goes without saying, as we just said, we fear the unknown. We don't know what's going to take place. But just think of that angel Gabriel that appeared to the Blessed Virgin Mary when she was so very young, maybe younger than each one of these young ladies, that he told her to behold, you will have the Messiah, you will bear the Messiah. And she had to do it all on faith, and she didn't understand, but she was obedient. And we have to be obedient to that call. Abraham took his son to the altar in the mountain because the Lord called him to sacrifice him. And I have to tell you, there was a time, maybe even now, maybe these parents would tell you, it would be difficult for us to take each one of you up on that mountain and say, here you are, Lord, you can have him. You can have her. I'll give her back to you. That was really taking a step in faith. I can't imagine, and I'm sure your parents either can't imagine, what it would be like to have to sacrifice you or give you up. But because he was faithful, because of his obedience, there was that ram in the bush to offer instead of his own son. You know, we can walk that mountain day after day after day, but the Holy Holy Spirit will provide for us the same as he did when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the same as he did when Abraham took his son up that mountain. The gifts that we're going to receive are everlasting if we use them properly. They're never going to wear out. If you don't use them, though, you will lose them. Once you receive your gift, operate in it. I want to take a minute here to speak to you about one gift in particular. There are many, and I want to speak to you about the gifts of tongues. It's very foreign to most people, and it's a whole different prayer language. Not everyone receives it. It is encouraged by a lot of priests to experience that, to move your mouth and what have you. You may hear one of us tonight praying in tongues. You may hear all of a sudden one of you. Don't be afraid. It's a beautiful prayer language where only you and the Lord know what you're praying. And if you don't receive it, don't be disappointed, because there's still time for it to come, still time for it to settle in. But for some reason, sometimes, for lack of words, it freaks people out. Know that it's a gift from the Lord himself. Every gift is unique. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this young lady walked down the street and she put her hand on someone's head and said, "In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed." And that person got up and walked. It's possible. It could be. Particular gift that you're seeking, don't be afraid to ask for it. I think the first time I was baptized in the Spirit, I really didn't know what to ask for, and I said, "I want whatever he has for me, and I'll take that. I'll take whatever you don't want." I speak to the Lord all the time, and I say, "You know what? Whatever someone else doesn't want, I want it. I want it four or five times fold. I want to do what he did when he walked the face of the earth, and he said, when he died and he was crucified and he goes before us, that we can have the power that he had when he was here. And I want it. And I hope each one of you will want that. But if you don't, I'll take it." I'm going to tell you of an experience that I had when I was, so you'd think I was old enough to know better. I was probably close to 30, and I was married. And many times I was inquisitive about things that I never experienced, because I told you I was really shy. And so we had moved to our home, and I had a little boy who was 5, still had his grown in. But we went back to visit our neighbors who used to live in the mobile home court, and Rusty worked in the mines. And they would talk from time to time when we were together about the guy smoking joints, smoking on the way to work, whatever. You know, it'd make you lose weight, it did this, it did that. So we're there for dinner one night, and I said, "Hey, Rusty, call up your friend and get us a joint." Well, my husband just looked at me, you know, if looks could kill, and here's my little kid, and I thought, it's no big deal, look at this hurt. So he did. He called his friend and his wife come. And so the man and his wife and Rusty and Libby and I are sitting around this table. John's on the other side of the room. You know, mobile homes are not, there's not much distance between them. So the guy rolls this piece of paper and he puts it in this little clip and he's passing it around, and I took a puff. Nothing happened, so he gave it to him and I said, "That's no big deal." So he sends it around again. Second time, I took a puff. And I looked at John across the room back there and I said, "Oh, you know what, let's go home." I don't think I was getting anything out of that. Now, I am not one that can drink, because one margarita, I have to come and take a nap. If I have two, my face probably be in my plate. But anyhow, I got up from the table, And I walked back there about where Mr. Harper was sitting, and I didn't know I had feet. I don't know how to put my coat on. So we get in the car, and this was on Van Vorst Road. By the time we got to the Coliseum, now, I mean, I was wiped out. When I got home, John didn't say he was angry with me, but he was. I had to crawl up the stairs to my bed. Got in. Every transformation that you can imagine would take place in your body took place that night. And part of the next day. My eyes would twitch, my body would twitch, and it was not, you know, one right after the other. It was one, and then the next thing, I did not know what was happening. At about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up to go to the bathroom because I was so nauseated, and I didn't know how I got in there. And I remember saying to my husband, why would any kid want to do this twice? Why would you? He said, Tina, why'd you want to do it once? Well, there you go. And I was old enough to know better. It took me probably a week and a half to 2 weeks to get whatever those two drags that I consumed out of my body. I had this little five-year-old boy, and he stood by the bed, and he said, Mom, what do you think made you sick? And I said, you know what, honey? It was probably that pasta Libby made. And I'm thinking, my God, I don't want this kid to remember this. But do you see the choices that you make and then the consequences that you have to take? Last week, there was a truck that pulled across the street on the sidewalk from where I live downtown, and my computer is in my bedroom, and I had to look outside. And I saw this older man, maybe my age or older, standing by the passenger side. The door was open, and they were talking and talking, and I'm thinking, what are they doing? And the younger fellow driving was drinking a Coke, and they're smoking cigarettes. And all of a sudden, this older guy is around to the other side of the truck, and I can see there was someone sitting over there. And he opens that side of the door, and they're talking and talking. And the fellow in the middle, I see him bending down, doing this, you know, bending down. And I'm thinking, what goes here? He had this little card about the size of an index card. And he had white powder on. And he rolled this piece of paper. And the older man now is on this side, and then he passes to the guy in the middle. And then the guy over here, I could see him sniff the heroin, cocaine, whatever it was. Then they sat there for a couple of minutes, must have got their buzz or their high, whatever. Then they get out to go to work on that house and to put up new guttering. Now, I question whether they were in frame of mind to put up anything. You know? And the one that was rolling it all, the first one sniff, comes around to the driver's side, looks in the mirror, and he's wiping it off to make sure no one knows that they did any such thing. Well, I see something wrong with that picture. First off, I don't want to sniff anything anybody else has sniffed. I have to have my own paper. You want something to pin up his nose? Choices that we make, and they're lifelong, life everlasting. I think we need to choose Jesus. Be very cognizant of our friends and what goes on out there. See how the devil works? That's a devil. So, I want to go on to a subject of forgiveness, because I want you to remember this through your life. That we must forgive. Unforgiveness causes sickness in our bodies, hatred, dissension, causes us to be judgmental, and we're never allowed to judge. It's only for the Lord to do on the last day. Do you have to go back to the situation? No. Sometimes you can be a partial friend, you can forgive, but we must forgive in order for the Lord to forgive us. We spoke about reconciliation. I cannot emphasize enough for the adults and the youth to go to reconciliation as often as you can, to receive the sacrament as often as you can. Realize that Jesus is in that Eucharist. It is truly the body and blood of Jesus that we're receiving, and we need to receive it with reverence. not with sin. The least little sin, no matter how grave it is, that we don't even think is a sin, can keep us from going to heaven. I heard last weekend when I was at that retreat, if you were ready, today was the day the Lord was calling you home, and you went before him, could you go without sin? Could you go in a good state of grace? Could you go before him without shame? We have to constantly give him thanks, honor, glory, praise. It's a privilege and an honor to serve him. Don't take it lightly. If you allow the Holy Spirit in your life, he will take you places that you've never been before in the spirit realm. I'm not talking about New York City or Kansas or whatever. I'm talking about in the spirit realm. You'll experience some of the most beautiful, phenomenal experiences. Many people always say, you know what, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve that. I've said it many of times myself. But I want someone wants to read this for me. I want to tell you why you are worthy.
Come on, we got to volunteer somewhere in here. Got to step away. Come on.
It's in English. Come on.
Yes, that's right. All right.
Don't ever think you're not worthy.
Remember, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. No more excuses now. God can use us to our full potential. Besides, we aren't the message. We are just the messenger. Let your light so shine.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm almost done here. I know you're tired of listening to me, but I hope you got something out of your talk. I hope that you'll make the right choices and the right decisions in your life. Understand that your parents are not on you or against you, but they are for you, and they want to help you through that process. And share what you're receiving this weekend with your parents, family, brothers, sisters, siblings. Take it into the world with you, to your friends. Share it. Step out of your comfort zone. It's not just about being Catholic. There's all denominations out there. They're all going to heaven the same as we are. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you never know when you could bring one of them to Catholicism. We are going to have a commitment prayer here. And so I ask you to remember tonight to say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me as you will. I surrender to you today, every day when you wake up. I surrender to you today, Lord. Take my life. Use me as you will."
Before we do the commitment prayer, any questions? Are there any questions? Tina, I think I know I had some questions just listening, and I wanted to ask about this baptism in the Spirit. What's this all about? You know,
I don't know how much you guys know about baptism of the Spirit, and I think Tina, you can describe that a little bit, and also about the gifts of the Spirit. You talk about tongues, but these other gifts also, and you guys know what the seven gifts of the Spirit are. We read them here a little bit. Tiffany read those. Do you know what wisdom is?
Well, Jesus.